You've been hiding in the shadows way too long. You always thought that you were weak, but babe, you're wrong. Yeah, you better step into the light, just give it a try. Think that it's time you let that spark out. You've been hiding in the shadows way too long.
Hey, welcome to the Coming Out Late podcast. I'm Robin, your host, and I'm a late bloomer just like you. We are a part of a rapidly growing, lesser known, or even talked about subset of the queer community. We're a tribe, if you will. And if you're anything like me, when I came out, I was confused, scared. I felt like I was going crazy and I felt all alone and had nobody to talk to. Not to worry, you've come to the right place. In the Coming Out Late podcast, you'll hear real, raw, and relatable Coming Out Late stories. You'll be inspired, informed, and educated, and you'll definitely feel supported. And you can stop feeling like you're living someone else's life and start living your own. So welcome. You have found your tribe. And welcome to the Coming Out Late podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Coming Out Late podcast. I am Robin, your host, and thank you so much for tuning in and for sharing a big part of your busy day with me today. I really appreciate you listening. I have a unique episode for you today. Some time ago, I let everyone know in our private Facebook group, Coming Out Late, that I had invited a special guest to come visit us in our Not Straight support group, and announced that should you decide to attend the Not Straight support group for that particular week, that I would be recording our conversation in our support group for the purposes of capturing our conversation with this special guest. I thought that this particular support group session on this particular day when we had a guest had the potential of being a really valuable conversation, one so rich with heart and vulnerability and full of good practical information that I simply had to record that particular support group meeting for the Coming Out Late podcast. Everyone who decided to join us that day for this special conversation with our outside guest did agree to being recorded, so consent was requested and granted by all who attended. Oh, and who is this special guest, and what are we talking about today? And next week in part two? Well, we're talking about one of our Coming Out Late favorite subjects, of course, sex. And who better to chat about sex, intimacy, and pleasure with? Yep, the Whitney Miller joined us for a nearly two-hour conversation and discussion about sex, consent, trauma, vulnerability, you name it. The conversation was beautiful, it was touching, and it was epic. Whitney Miller is also known as BDE Moves and is a savvy and soft and caring bundle of knowledge, empowerment, and research in the fascinating world of human pleasure and everything that encompasses human pleasure. Whitney is a highly regarded sex educator and pleasure coach and believes pleasure is not one size fits all. She sees pleasure as a subjective experience that can only be defined by the individual. Her main goal in working with clients is to help them find their way home to themselves, because the truth is something that can only be defined from within. Endorsed and highly recommended by leaders in her field, Whitney has been described as, quote, providing accurate, accessible, evidence-based, normalizing and valid sex information and education, end quote. Her depth of knowledge within the pleasure niche is like none other. Whitney spends countless hours working hard to empower people in their sexuality and their pleasure. With years of experience, research, and data to back her up, and active ongoing learning, Whitney has delved deep into whatever information exists around all things sex-related, specifically for vulva owners. That's vulva, not Volvo, like the car. And listen to this. Whitney's ultimate mission when working with clients is to empower people to move past performative mindsets to more of a pleasure-based model of self-discovery, acceptance, and excitement. She's truly a valuable resource with a wealth of knowledge and information to help transform the pleasure world. Whitney's work can be found on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. In fact, her TikTok channel has become a hugely important source of pleasure empowerment and sexual health information for thousands of folks. We begin this part one of a two-part episode with me jumping right into our support group, kind of setting the scenario of the support group for that day, and then turning the microphone over to Whitney Miller to allow her to introduce herself. So let's get into it, shall we? Put your feet up, relax, maybe grab a pen and paper for note-taking, and enjoy listening to our not-straight support group, Talking Sex with Whitney Miller. All right, folks, so we are at the very first ever. I don't know that we've ever had a guest in our support group, and I don't know that we've ever had a specific topic that was requested. And interestingly, the person who requested this topic's not even here yet. I don't know what's up with that. But last week we had somebody who said, hey, next week, can we talk about sex? That sounds good to me. So yeah. And of course, my mind immediately got, well, after the first thought, my mind then immediately went to Whitney. And yeah, and she was gracious enough to come on here. And for people who don't know, I'm going to have Whitney introduce herself, but she is the pleasure coach of all pleasure coaches. And I feel really deeply honored to not only have her here today, but also to get to record her tomorrow for the podcast as well. So Whitney, why don't you tell those of us who may not be familiar with you, who you are, and also when you get a chance, put your information in the chat for people to be able to find you online. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here. And I really appreciate that. My name is Whitney Miller, and I'm the CEO of BDE Moves, which is an LLC that I grew out of seeing like late blooming lesbians scurrying around for information that I had as an elder queer. I've been out since I was 15 years old. So I was just like, I'm a sex educator. I'm a queer sex educator. I've had long-term relationships with cis men. I know what it's like to leave those relationships with children and start your life over. But I also have the background of being queer for 22 years. So I was like, I felt like a bridge to late bloomers. And when Kiri DeWitt started the Late Blooming Lesbian Group, I would do Zooms over there like, this is how you put a strap on. This is how you put the dildo in there. This is how you approach that, like let the receiver guide it in. And it's okay for it to feel awkward and silly. And I'm very comfortable in those environments. So I grew a whole business out of it. So I'm here for the late bloomers. Like, please come use what I've got. I'm here for you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the heavens to bring us Whitney. Because yeah, we're scrambling, man. As late bloomers, we are scrambling. I mean, one of the things that comes up often too in this support group and in other places in our Facebook group coming out late is even how do you flirt with women, you know, like forget them to bed, like how do you even flirt? And because so many of us are coming out of long-term relationships, and the last time we dated, we might've been teenagers or in our early 20s. So it's like, oh shit, like how do I go about doing this? So let's start there before we even take our clothes off. Well, not us, but you know, What advice would you give for us to even let women know that we're interested in them? And how do you flirt and be sexy?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's so much around that to unpack, because like as women coming out of a patriarchal society, first thing that I do with clients is try to get them to drop the people-pleasing mentality, that fear that you step forward going, I hope they like me, but you forget to be like, but do you like them? Like, try to have more of an attitude of, I hope I like them, and not so much like being afraid whether they like you or not. Because at the end of the day, like having that I hope they like me mentality is a scarcity mindset, and it'll make you lose yourself. Yeah. And then we don't have a chance for a healthy relationship if you've lost yourself. And you've already spent all this time becoming your authentic self, like coming out later in life, and all of that time spent people pleasing, making other people happy and letting yourself disappear. You don't want to do that again when you're building these authentic relationships and the authenticity that you've worked so hard to finally claim and be out and about with. So when you're flirting, like, act like you're making a friend. Don't put so much pressure on yourself, like, I'm trying to sleep with this person. Try to figure out if you even like this person. So, like, ask open-ended questions and keep it light and playful and fun. Like, I'm just making a friend and it's fine. And then later on, you can see if it develops into something sexual.
I love that answer because I'm a big proponent of working on myself as much as I can before each time I enter into a new relationship. I take what I've learned from a previous relationship and I work on myself, and then I throw myself back out there and see how I've done in terms of working on Robin. So yeah, codependency with regard to people pleasing. And I absolutely was like on a scale of 1 to 100, I was 100 when I started in this new realm of coming out late. And yeah. And the other thing too, is now like what Whitney said was, we have worked so damn hard of turning our life upside down to come out and live our authentic selves. You want to present the best self that you can present. You want to be the best person that you can be. So think about the things that didn't work in your previous relationship and be honest with yourself and work on those things before you go and try to flirt and start dating. So yeah, that's an excellent point. And I'm encouraging people too, because all of a sudden, like, this group is usually a very chatty group, but all of a sudden everyone's like, they want to know about sex, but they don't want to talk about it. So yeah, if you feel shy about talking, and I've muted everybody just from the sake of not having background noise, but please feel free to unmute, raise your hand, wave at me, and or put your questions in the chat for Whitney so that it won't just be Whitney and I talking the whole time. And because I don't know what's in the minds of some of you who, I mean, I've had 6 or 8 relationships already. So, you know, I have had sex with women. It's the best. Just saying, if any of you had any doubts about going back to men, I would, you know, cut that off right at the bud. But yeah. Oh, we have a hand raised. Lee Ellen, you're our brave first person.
Hi. Yeah. Whitney, I just want to say, first of all, thanks for joining us. It's very appreciated. So my question follows off of what you said, Robin. Like, I'm just wondering, you know, coming out of having only had relationships with men so far, I'm wondering, like, what can I look forward to? Having relationships with women?
Well, like everything.
Okay, so like in relationships with women, there's this period that you really need to digest if you're carrying things from a patriarchal social construct. Because what happens is we get into these women-loving women relationships and we try to recreate heteronormative, like, culture stereotypes. And when you've only had relationships with men, there's certain roles that you just kind of automatically fall into just because that's the way things are. So if you are the more feminine presenting partner and you happen to get with a masculine presenting partner, you can put those, like, patriarchal constructs on that person, or they can try to put that on you. And it's not healthy in either way. It's one thing to be like, I'm going to open a door for you, but it's another thing to think that you're supposed to, like, wash the dishes because you wear the dress. Those are things that you want to, like, notice, use your awareness to be like, oh, I'm recreating these sociocultural norms in this queer environment. And every queer is responsible for this. So you'll find elder queers still carrying this around. Things like gold star lesbian, that's a damn red flag. Get the hell away from those people. That's an act of supremacy. That's a tool from patriarchy. You know, they're just using the tools of their oppressor to try to compete with other women. You don't have space for that. Okay. You've come this far with your authenticity. Just exhale. I hear from a lot of late bloomers that they don't feel like oppressed or ostracized or shunned or policed by other, like, lesbians who are maybe, you know, they feel like they've got some supremacy over you. Don't get laughed. Laugh. They've got work to do. That's not on you.
That is so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of, you know, and that's a real thing, because I noticed that right away, like with my first relationship, that I was falling into heteronormative cult, like, you know, reactions. It was really strange. And in fact, right before I moved down to North Carolina, I was in Asbury Park, New Jersey, which is a super gay community. And I met a friend there and we're still friends. And she's kind of sort of a lifelong lesbian. She's been out a long time, and she would say, like, your hetero is showing, you know, like, she'd let me know, like, when I was acting heteronormative ways. And it was a little alarming to me how deep that was in my programming and how it was just automatic. And I'm sure it's still there too, to a large degree. So that's a really good.
We're all programmed that way. You know, we're all programmed that way. And even people who've been queer their entire lives, they'll carry it around, like gay men who call themselves platinum gays because they were a cesarean birth. So they've never been in contact with a vagina. So they use that as a supremacy over others. Marginalized people can feel their inferiority to the cis heterosexual white man. So they will compete with each other because they feel like they can't compete with the cis heterosexual white man. So their way to get ahead is to push down other people that they feel like are even more marginalized. And it's just hurt people hurting people. So you'll see it in the queer community, because as queers, we have a trauma on us from being treated the way we are in general society. So some people process it and use it as a way to connect, and some people don't process it and they use the weapons of their oppressor to compete with other queers.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, just with a show of hands here, how many people, because I assume this, how many people assume that when once you enter into the queer community, that we all love each other and there is no competing? I mean, I know I thought that there is no.
I was hopeful.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's a little sad, you know, like with lifelong lesbians versus newly out. Pasha has her hand raised. Go for it, girl.
Hello. Thanks, Robin. Thanks, Whitney. I've only been in a couple of relationships that lasted a few days, so I'm definitely a newbie. But there's been some conversations that I navigated as a newly out lesbian talking to women who've been out for a long while about public displays of affection. And it was so interesting because I, coming in as kind of, you know, enthusiastic, eager beaver that I am, wanted to hug on them and be physical and out and happy and proud, but there was still a lot of fear in my dates at the time. And so I'm just wondering how to best navigate that conversation, honoring their past and their history, which makes complete sense why there'd be more fear from stigma and oppression and all, and yet I haven't experienced that, fortunately, out myself. So it's just been an interesting dynamic. I wonder if you could speak to that.
Absolutely. So that's it. That's a fear in the queer community for all queers, is to be public displays of affection. For me personally, there are certain areas where I will and there's certain areas where I won't. Like, I'm from East Tennessee. So when my fiance come here, we live in a very small country town. She's from Miami. So to her, it's like, I'm going to hold your hand wherever we go because, you know, no big deal. And her hometown is like Asheville, North Carolina, which is a nice little queer pocket in the middle of a kind of, you know, mixed up state. So when I'm there, she didn't notice. But when we come to my small town, we went into a grocery store, she grabbed my hand and I kissed it and I looked at her and I said, that's not safe here. And I had to let her hand go. So having direct communication with any like new partner that you have is totally normal. It's just a part of being in the queer community, is like, hey, what's your comfort level with PDA? And have you experienced any past trauma with this? Because I have experienced violence and she's not. So I have a different, you know, way that I come to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Great question and great answer. And I love that you take her hand, you kiss it and say, hey, that's not safe here. What a beautiful, loving way to have to turn her down. Mm-hmm. I've had experience in this area. I personally love, like, I mean, if I'm with someone who I just adore and want to be with, I'm a very affectionate person. I want to show affection. I want to hold their hand. I want to maybe smooch them once in a while in public. And when I first came out, not my first girlfriend, but early on, I was dating a gal who had been out her whole life. And she came to visit me here in North Carolina, which when I first moved here was a red state. Now it's kind of purple. And she kept telling me, Robin, be careful. Robin, be careful. And I was like, I was newly-ish out. And I'm like, I don't want to be like, fuck them, you know, like, I don't want to be careful, you know. And I was like this crazy person. And she's like, no, really, you got to be careful. And we did have an experience where we took this little tour around town in a golf cart, a tour. And the dude was talking to us really nice, became friends with the driver until he found out we were a couple. And anytime we ran into him in town later, he looked right through us as though we were invisible, didn't want to know us, didn't acknowledge us. I mean, that wasn't a dangerous situation, but it was really quite a telling sign that this was not acceptable in my little town. So unfortunately, I have backed up and realize that I do need to pick and choose when it's safe and when it's not safe to show public displays of affection. But if I have the green light, I'm going to be holding my girl's hand and kissing and all that good stuff. Go ahead. You have your hand raised. Go ahead and ask your question or jump on in. RCT? There
sorry,
you go.
Sorry. I couldn't get it off mute. This is probably not the right time for this question, just based on if there was any follow-up, then what was just said, maybe the question is not quite the right one. But I was just curious, given your focus on intimacy and sex, if you find good resources for erotica.
Good resources for erotica? Is that what it's
like, where to get it, because it's not reasonable at the moment. What I've learned. It's not
internet. Like, yeah. So you kind of have to like sift through, as if most things with queers, you have to sift through the heteronormativity of the erotic sex. So you want to use words like sapphic when you're doing research, like sapphic erotica. My personal collection of it is I have one that's called Wet because I like true stories. I like the context of, ooh, this actually happened. So Wet is like a collection of sapphic stories that are real. And then there's like the best lesbian erotica, and they have several volumes. I think they have like 10 or 12. If you're looking for like audio erotica, I'm not very sure which one would be the best. Like, I've heard that Dipsy has some, but it seems pretty hetero forward. Then there's Quinn. There's also Wattpad. YouTube actually has some audio erotica, and I think that that's free. But just make sure that you put like the word sapphic before, and you're going to get more into the genre that you're looking for.
So there's like, from your experience, there is not a balloon where you don't get stuff that think through your head. Because for me, it's like, then we spend a lot of time sifting instead of just getting to where you're looking for it. So is that, because it seems to me like there's potentially an opportunity where there could be that. But I'm just curious, like, you don't have, there's no like in place where it's not with that, with that approach.
I'm sorry, it's coming through warbled. So I'm trying to just piece together what you're saying. You're asking me if there's like one specific place that you can go and there's just going to be like lesbian erotica. I'm not aware of that area. Like, it's still like a cherry picking situation where I've got to use keywords like sassic, I think, more than lesbian, because lesbian, if you just search lesbian, it sucks. We live in a patriarchal world, but the word lesbian has been sexualized and positioned for the male gaze. So you have to go sassic so that it's for the female gaze.
Cool. I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of us in, not just in this support group, but I think in our Coming Out Late community Facebook group, who want to write lesbian sapphic erotica. And I think now's the time to do it, because they're clearly, if Whitney doesn't know about it, as
there's a need for it. I'm going to find out more about it. I'm the keynote speaker for the SMUT conference in Orlando, Florida this September. So I'm going to be meeting with like 300 authors down there. And I'm open to like have a little more grip on where to find the good sapphic erotica. Because there's a totally different approach to sex in the aspect of like two actual women being together, as opposed to two women being together and a cis man is watching.
You know,
it's a different context completely.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are looking for, like, you know, a guy to be
with.
No. There's a SMUT conference in Orlando. I think that's our next retreat.
There's a SMUT conference in Orlando. I'm going to be giving away 4 VIP tickets to it in my Patreon. I've been giving those. So anybody that's going to be in the Orlando area September 21st to the 24th, it's going to be a whole weekend where there's 300 authors who write erotica, and they're meeting there. And the reason they're meeting there is so that they can learn from people like me as a sex educator. There's going to be kink educators there of all different backgrounds who are keeping these authors factual in their writing of these sex scenes. So they're not just writing from some place that they're fantasizing about. They write from it in a like a science-based, like factual point of view.
That's really cool. Now, is it open to the public?
It's open to the public. Like, readers can come. Absolutely. Absolutely. And like, I have 4 VIP tickets to give away, and I'm going to do those in my Patreon.
Okay. Maybe you might want to put your Patreon in.
I'll get all of this down into the chat. You can find
it. Holy cow. I think that's a great place for a retreat.
For sure.
Especially those of us who want to write it. That's really cool. Wow. And we could meet at my house first and then drive down together. It's not that far.
So.
Oh, these are great questions. And yeah, erotica is much needed. Thank you. All right. BDE-moves.com. Awesome.
Yes. That's my website. You can find everything there. Every podcast I've guest spotted on, my OnlyFans page, my Patreon. That's where I do all my sex educational content because I can do demonstrations of everything. I can pull the dildos out. I can pull the vulva model out. I can put it in my mouth. I can show it like for my visual learners. That's what I have.
Wow. That is awesome. We should do a field trip to her website.
For sure.
I think we will be. Does anybody have any questions or any thoughts that are floating around? It doesn't have to be about erotica. Something that you just wondered, questioned, or, oh, we have a hand up. Go ahead.
Hi, Winnie. I am wondering, you know, when some of us have been with a man, handling insecurities that come up during intimacy, I feel like might be different than handling them with a woman. I mean, I'm sure that they can overlap, but I'm just wondering if you can speak to that. I know that some people talked about that last week as well, so I was hoping that you could speak to that.
Okay. Can you give me like just a little bit more, like when you're talking about being insecure, are you talking about performance anxiety? Are you talking about body image?
Gosh, it could be, I'm not specifically saying one thing. Let's go with performance anxiety.
Okay. So that's one that that happens a lot with clients and they come to me, they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And here's the thing. If you're locked up and you don't know what to do, use your mouth. Not in the way that it seems like, but you got to talk, speak up, just say, I'm really nervous. I'm so into you. I'm shaking. You're so hot. Like you can say all those things. It's okay to be awkward. It's okay to be curious. It's okay to not know what to do. Because if you're sitting there and you don't know what to do and you think you're supposed to without talking, you're performing. And if you're performing, you're not connecting. And sex is supposed to be about an exchange of best interests. And you don't know what that person's best interest is if you don't talk about it.
Wow. That's really good. I mean, it's true. And I've said in the past, for me at least, like I don't sleep around. I'm a monogamous dater. So by the time I get to the point where I am going to be intimate with my girlfriend, by then we've had a lot of conversations and we've gotten pretty damn close. So I should be able to say, like, I cannot wait to have sex with you, but I'm so nervous. I mean, you should be at that point.
Absolutely. You don't want to have sex with somebody who's going to make you feel weird about that. Like, yeah, that'd be a red flag to be like, well, I'm not taking my pants off. Like, if you're going to make me feel unsafe now, I definitely don't want to put my naked skin against you. So you want somebody who makes you feel safe and supported. And you can have conversations like, I feel more comfortable giving than I do receiving. I feel more comfortable receiving than I do giving. Like, you can have those conversations.
Absolutely. And something I've learned being newly out or being on this journey is that when you start to talk with someone, usually it's texting, and something that I have found is that, you know, you text 100 times a day and all day and you say good night and you say good morning. There's so much that's covered in those conversations that things like that are covered. Like, oh, are you a top? Are you a bottom? Eventually you get around to talking about sex, even in your texting. So that's a big difference between men and women. Like, I never had conversations about sex with my ex-husband. Like, we didn't talk about it. We didn't at all. And
Among heterosexuals, penetration is assumed to mean sex. So once you get into queer circles, you've got to redefine what sex even means. Ooh. You know, in the sex education arena, we say that sex is anything that could result in an orgasm. Not that one has to happen to constitute sex, but it could happen through what activity you're doing. That's sex. Oral, mutual masturbation, one person watching, one person with a toy. Penetration never has to happen for sex to have happened.
Wow. So true. So true. And that's one of the beautiful things about being with women is that communication and connection is there and is available and is possible so that all those conversations can happen well before you ever do anything with anybody. I'm going to address the question in the chat right after we let Yellen ask her question.
Yeah, thanks again. So I was wondering if you could just talk more about different kinds of conversations that you think it's good to have as you're meeting someone new, but then also just ongoing.
Yeah. Wow. It depends on what direction you're headed. Like, if you're like having preliminary conversations with somebody because it's leading up to you feel like you guys are about to have sex, then those conversations would always start out with like, what's your STI status? You know, that's normal conversation to have. Just because two people have vulvas doesn't mean that there can't be STI transmission, you know, especially the viral ones like HPV or herpes. Those things can be transmitted between two people's vulvas actually more easily. So that would be one of those things that I always talk about when I'm dating somebody and I can see that we're like, oh, we're going to have sex. For me personally, because I'm a kinky person, I also put that out there like, hey, do you have any kinks that you like to discuss with me? Because I'm the type of person that my arousal is going to lead into, I may want to spank you. I may want to like place my hand on your throat, not choking, but like I may want to put it there. And that's not something you want to surprise somebody with. You know, as women, we have to remember that a lot of us have trauma. A lot more of us have trauma than we don't. So there's also the question of, do you have body parts that you don't want me to touch? Because some people could go into a flashback if you touch their breasts, or certain positions could send them into like trigger response. So talking about those things ahead of time can be helpful.
Wow. Those are great answers. Hadn't even thought about some of those. Can you go in? Can you just briefly talk about STIs for a second? Sexually transmitted. I always thought it was STDs.
It's like they get used interchangeably, like sexually transmitted diseases, sexually transmitted infections. But sometimes they'll just say STIs/STDs. I just like general safety is when like two women are going to get together, or like two people with vulvas, they're going to get together and have sex. You can use things like nitrile gloves, because usually we're going to get pretty manual. That's just if like either you don't know that person's status, or you found out like they have herpes and you guys are being careful. There's also like Laurel's latex underwear, but that's kind of tricky because they only make them in latex, and there's a lot of people with latex sensitivities. So the nitrile gloves help with that. Also, if you're going to use things like coconut oil, you need to use a nitrile glove because the latex will melt. As you put the oil on, it'll just dissolve. Your finger will poke right through it. It's basically like breaking your condom. So those are pretty normal things. And then like you can turn either a condom or a nitrile glove into a dental dam if you want to, by cutting fingers off and just opening it up and placing it over. And I know for some people, like those conversations can be awkward, but what's really awkward is having to pick up the phone and call somebody and tell them, hey, you know, you're going to have to go get tested. So it just depends on, like, these conversations become easier, like the more that you have them. So yep. At first they feel kind of weird because it's unfamiliar. But as you have them, you just see them as part of being a sexually active adult, is being responsible and being accountable. So part of informed consent.
Yep. Two things on that. One, I just wanted to clarify that what Whitney's talking about is penetration with our fingers with another woman, and also oral sex. And a dental dam, I've never seen or used a dental dam, but I understand that it's like taking saran wrap and putting it up against the vulva and performing oral sex, correct? Or
it's like from the dentist, like they put it in your mouth when they're doing a root canal and they want to cover. But you can use saran wrap. Saran wrap is approved by Planned Parenthood as a STI-STD barrier. So, and it's actually great because you can take a huge piece of it, and that makes it where you can put it in the folds of the labia and you actually feel more. The heat transfers and sensation transfers. And you can also drip hot wax on it, and it's easy cleanup. You just pull the saran wrap up and go.
Wow, that is awesome. And I remember reading recently not to use the saran wrap that is microwavable, because apparently they have itty bitty tiny perforated holes in it. So don't use microwavable saran wrap.
No, just use like good old fashioned cling wrap.
There was something else I wanted to bring up about. I also make it a point that, like, pretty much once a year at my physical, my doctor requires that I get blood work done, just routine blood work. And I've made it a point, whether I am in a relationship or not, to ask them to test me for STDs, just to get it out of the way. You know, I figure they're already testing me for things. I might as well have them test me for whatever, so that I, you know, in the future, hopefully, when I am in a relationship, I can say, you know, I was tested in such and such a time and I've not had any partners since. So that's something I do just on a routine basis as well. So I'll go ahead.
Like sexually active people should get tested every 3 months. If you have like multiple partners, that's just routine.
Wow. That's good to know too. It's hard enough getting one partner. I don't think I'm going to have multiple partners.
And make sure you're getting a full spectrum test. Like if they just do the swab, that's for bacterial, you need a blood test for the viral ones. So those are separate panels.
Yeah. And all I said to my doctor was, listen, I'm not sexually active right now, but since you're taking my blood anyway, you know, please check me for STDs or whatever. You know, it's not a big deal. Okay. I don't know if you want me to mention your name. So go ahead. You who have your hand raised.
I'll change it if I want you to. Thank you. Thank you, Robin. Whitney, I was just hoping, so you're dropping like little bombs and I can see other people's faces, like kind of like their eyes go big when you say certain things. So like you're saying certain things that are like level 10 and most people are at level 0. And okay. I think all of us want to hear about level 10 and 9 and 8 and 7 and, you know, like all the levels. So when you were talking about dental dams and things like that, I was just kind of like reading faces and noticing, I don't think that there, I think that there's a lot of people that have never experienced anything with a woman. I know I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. And so all of that's like, where do you even start with that? Getting educated on, you know, like all of that. Yes. And I know that a lot of it is experience. And so I was hoping that you could maybe just like talk a little bit more about that for everybody.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, if you go to my website and there's a free OnlyFans section on there and you go and totally free, I have a video on safety. So like, that is like total breakdown where I'll show you everything if that helps with the situation, because safety is really important out there. But the very first thing, like level one, is just having that STI status conversation, like with anybody that you're going to have sex with. Like, and you always open that conversation if it, it always felt easier to me to offer my status first, not putting somebody on the spot. Hey, this is the last time I got checked and this is my status. Just letting you know so that you have all the information you need. So anything you're consenting to, it's full informed, enthusiastic consent for you. And then just expecting that reciprocity from them. And if they don't want to give that to you, that's a red flag. You know, they make you feel awkward. They make you feel weird. They get defensive. And you don't want to have sex with that person. Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah, it totally helps. And if you wanted to keep going, I feel like I was hearing, I was seeing some head nods. Like, if you're going about talking about this, like, feel free.
Yeah, no problem at all. Well, see, I've been having sex with women since I was 15 years old. So I know that old, like, almost like, well, I hate to call it an old wives' tale, but I'm from the South. That's all I know to say about these things. It's like this old wives' tale that like two people that have vulvas, it's no problem. You know, there's no penetration of body parts happening, so it's no problem. But there's swapping of fluids. And with two people with vulvas, there's a lot of fluids. And sometimes there's a huge amount of fluids and it's everywhere, you know, and that's great. And I love it. That's just a good time. But I need to know if, you know, I'm transmitting something to someone or they're transmitting it to me. And I mean, I will tell you that things like bacterial vaginosis, like it's totally natural for that to get swapped back and forth between two people with vulvas, just because we all have our own personal microbiome in our vagina. It's yours. It's like your fingerprint. So if my body doesn't agree with that, it might protest a little bit. So that's natural. Like if that's happening, like if you're dating somebody and they get a fishy odor and a watery discharge, or you get a fishy odor and a watery discharge, there's no shame. Okay. It's just pH. It's like a swimming pool. You know, every once in a while, you got to do a little litmus test or, you know, take a little probiotic, go to the OB, get yourself some Flagyl or, you know, the metronidazole and clear it up. It's nothing to shame someone over. And if someone is going to shame you for BV, they have poor education. So I see these things that like sometimes women will be struggling with. They're like, well, I have this odor because, you know, if you have a vulva, you're worried about it all the time. How do I smell? How do I taste? Is it okay? You know, do I shave it? Do I not? Do I leave a little mustache? Like, do I braid it? Do I put cornrows on it? Like, it's just, it's crazy. So it's like, just look at your vulva often, say nice things to it. You know, you manicure it however you want to, and don't shove a bar of soap in your vagina. That'll do bad things for it. Okay, because if it's too clean, you are going to get BV. It needs to have the good bacteria in there. So drink your water. You don't have to chug pineapple juice. You're not supposed to taste like pineapple or raspberries or juicy fruit. P- pussy's supposed to taste like pussy, and people who love pussy thinks pussy tastes good.
That is great. So yeah. True.
It's just, these are the things that we worry about. It drives us crazy. And then when you're really worried about those things, you get turned off. It's at the time when you want to be really turned on, and you're just kind of like inside of yourself, not connecting with the other person because you're worried about these things.
So true. And that kind of leads us to, I'm going to cover some questions that came in the chat, Leon, before I get back to you. Can we talk about body insecurities, which kind of leads into the odor and all that other stuff? And then somebody else wrote in, just wondering if I'm alone in this thought. I'm more self-conscious about my body when I'm thinking about intimacy with a woman than maybe a man, maybe mm-hmm. because I feel more vulnerable in general because it's new or because I'm actually really interested in sex. So that kind mm-hmm. of, the two kind of tie together in terms of body insecurity with being with a woman. And I have felt that at times. One of my girlfriends used to like me to sit on her lap. She'd pull me over and sit on her lap. And it's like such a sweet gesture, but I was self-conscious at the time about my weight, you know, mm-hmm. and it ruined, for me, it ruined a beautiful moment, and probably for her too. So let's talk about insecurities, body insecurities.
There's so many things come into my mind with that. Like one is, yeah, if you're newly out and now you're having sex with women in this place of newness, there is that feeling of, for a lot of us, feeling arousal for the first time. Like, geez, this does feel good. I'm actually into this. I'm actually excited. Or I remember having sex with women early in my life and being like, I'm so gay in the middle of it because I'm so fucking excited and thrilled. So like, if you've been going through the motions of having sex with men in a performance mindset, then you've been putting yourself in a position to perform for someone. And a lot of us just get into it because they desire us. Oh, it's so hot the way you want me, but I'm not really into this. So that's like a normal thing you go through. So then when you're with a woman and, you know, this is you stepping your authenticity of like, oh shit, I am attracted to women because I'm really aroused and I'm really into this. So there's that. But there's also, again, that patriarchy is we're made to compete with women. So you have to meet with that and process that when you're like, oh, I'm also attracted to women. So it's like, are you internally still competing with this woman that you're attracted to and this woman that's attracted to you? And are you processing that patriarchal program that's been put into you? It's nothing to feel bad about. It's totally normal. Like we're all in that. Like we're all in the society that puts those programs in you. But for your whole life, you've been positioned to compete against women. And a lot of us, our first competitor was our mom. So it's very much ingrained in us to compete with other women.
Really good point. Go ahead, Rachel.
So yeah, like I think one of the things that like patriarchy makes us compete with other women, I think that I feel the same way as what was the name in the chat, the person who raised the question. And I wonder if it's like, have you read the book The Beauty Myth? You know what I mean? Like it's like we're all like sort of like we have this ideal of like what is beautiful, like imposed upon us, and it's imposed upon women way more than it is like men don't give a shit what they look like. You know, so comparatively. So I don't know. I wonder if that has something to do with that. That's what you're talking about, kind of.
That is what I'm talking about. I read about it in Communion from Bell Hooks, which is The Search for Female Love. What you're speaking on is the sexism that's been put upon us. So women have this idea of a beauty standard, but it's born out of a cis male gaze. So we're all like competing to stand in the standard of what the cis male finds attractive. And when we fall from there, we feel this sense of like failure, but it's just failure in the eyes of a cis heterosexual man. But it doesn't connect like that in our mind. We've just been taught that like in this world, this is the standard that we're supposed to rise up to. Mm-hmm. Because like women are seen as objects just to have sex with. And if you're not attracted to have sex with them, then they lose their value.
In the queer world, is it different? I guess that's my main question.
Yeah, well, only with queers who've taken the time to process and dissolve those things away. So if they don't read the literature, they just carry those same weapons of patriarchy right into queer spaces. So you have to learn to recognize it so that you don't have to fraternize with those people who still have work to do on themselves.
What about insecurities? You know, my insecurity about my body, Like I one woman in particular pops into my head who I dated, and she was so comfortable being naked in her body, like walking around the bathroom and whatever. And I personally enjoyed it, you know, but I'm not quite as comfortable because, and it's because of how I feel about my body. You know, what do you have to say about that besides that I'm crazy?
You're not crazy. It's just the journey of radical self-acceptance. I mean, we as individuals, that's our responsibility to take that journey. And that means, you know, reading books like The Body is Not an Apology by Sonia Renee Taylor, or digging into bell hooks like What About Love and Communion, The Female Search for Love. I highly recommend, if you're looking for healing, to find it from Black women, because buying books written by white men is not really going to teach you a lot about healing when you're picking up tools from your oppressor. You know, it's just
good point. Excellent point. Let me just double back to Lee Ellen. I don't know if you had your hand up before the other person, who I don't know if I should call you by name or not. I can. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to ask this real quick because I want it to be noted, but I don't want to disrupt this conversation about resources. So I think I might put my question in the chat, because Whitney, I'd like to hear more about your recommendations for resources.
Okay. And then we'll go to Cheller. Go ahead, Cheller.
Oh, sorry. I think, Leon, you were asking about resources, right?
So what do you want to put them in? She's going to put them in the chat.
Do you want me to put the resources in the chat, or do you want me to revisit the question after everybody else goes?
Leon is going to put a question in the chat. Right now, she's wondering if you could continue on explaining the resources that you have. Did I get that right, Leon?
Whoops.
Okay, thumbs up. Yes. So that's continue, Whitney, with resources.
So I need to continue to give resources.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
So it depends on what you're looking for. When I talk about like inner healing, like spiritual inner healing, I reach out for things like bell hooks and Sonia Renee Taylor, but there's also other things that I look for, like Tara Brach. I look for her for like mindfulness practices, further into the radical self-acceptance, like step by step what to do, because sometimes people need it broken all the way down. So she does like RAIN, and RAIN is a way for you to process your emotions and speak from a place of like authenticity instead of reacting from an instinctual emotional response. And RAIN just means recognize, allow, investigate, and nurture. And she has like, you can go to tarabrock.com, you can go to Spotify and listen to her podcasts. They're really beautiful when you're struggling, when you're really trying to like root inside of yourself. My big thing is always go home to you. No one can tell you your truth. You're the only one who can know your truth. So you just need to find something that helps you get your feet underneath you and get you grounded. So these are the things that I reach out for that, because I don't do that snake oil shit where somebody's like, I can save you, I can show you the way. Yeah, that's a red flag. You're the way. You need to find your way home to you. And what feels good to you is right for you.
Woo.
Thank you. I tried to put the three that you mentioned, or at least like somewhat of their names, into the chat for everybody. Right. So you have those names. And then I also wanted to offer myself as tribute. If anybody would like a script, because I know for me personally, scripts really help. So if you'd like to see like, and Whitney, this is only if you're comfortable with it, but if somebody would like to see it demonstrated, I'm like getting like flustered even offering this, but if anybody wants to see a situation demonstrated, I would be happy to be like a second person to try to model that. Oh my gosh, I'm getting nervous even just saying that, but I'm willing to do it.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, I'm not even sure I know what you're talking about, but I'd like to see it.
Well, I think just like situations that arise, like let's say like before we were talking about being intimate with somebody and having insecurities arise and how to have that conversation. Like it's easy to say, yeah, just talk to them, you know, but sure. But what do I say? Like, if you've never had that conversation before, it's really helpful for me personally to hear a script, to hear or see it modeled by somebody else. So I'm not a professional at this by any means, but I can be the insecure person that doesn't know what the heck they're doing.
You want to do it with Whitney?
Sure. If that, I mean, one person said 100%, please. if that's helpful to other people, then I'm happy to.
Wow. Taking one for the team. What a gal.
That's all right. Me.
All right. So you're feeling into, set the scenario. What do you, what's your situation?
Okay.
Yeah. So being, okay. So you're in a scenario where maybe you haven't had a ton of conversation with this person. You're meeting them for, I don't even know, maybe not the first time, but you're still pretty new with that person, but you find yourself in an intimate scenario with them. And you want that. You want that to happen, but you're also insecure because you've never experienced this before. So you don't know what to do. So, okay. So if that's me showing up in this situation, I would probably start by saying,
wow, what a place to end part one, right? Sorry, not sorry. Guess you'll just have to tune back in next week to find out what specifically is this sexy scenario that's going to be played out between this very brave late bloomer and our resident pleasure coach, Whitney Miller. And what a brilliant idea to suggest acting out a scenario that many a late bloomer has yet, but hopefully will, find themselves in. Their first same-sex intimate encounter. So yeah. Tune in next week when we hear how Whitney coaches and guides one of our support group members through the initial stages and steps of becoming intimate for the first time. And speaking of coaching, did you know I offer private one-on-one coaching? If you're struggling to make sense of and manage your coming out late journey, then I encourage you to send me an email and request information about my one-on-one coaching services. It really does make a big difference to have someone like myself who really understands what you're going through. Just email me at comingoutlater@gmail.com to request my coaching information sheet. And as far as Coming Out Late retreats go, I am now accepting deposits for our Coming Out Late retreat experience in Traverse City, Michigan, taking place September 28th, 29th, 30th, and October 1st. So if you live in Michigan or want to travel to Traverse City, Michigan to experience their Up North Pride festivities and hang out with other late bloomers to experience this newish out gay life with a small trusted group, then email me at comingoutlater@gmail.com and I can send you a copy of the first group email that went out along with instructions on how to get your deposit into me this week. Out and wild. We not only have the opportunity to be out and wild in Traverse City, Michigan, but in 2024, you will have the opportunity to join me internationally and be out and wild in Wales, too. I plan to take a group of Americans with me back to the Out and Wild LGBTQ Women's Wellness Festival. And I now have in my possession an early bird promo code and link created specifically for us to be shared with you to purchase your Out and Wild LGBTQ Women's Wellness Festival ticket for 2024. And guess what? Four of us have already bought our festival tickets. So why don't you join us as we glamp on the gorgeous grounds of the Pembrokeshire Coast National Forest in Wales, in the UK, next May? The festival begins on May 31st, and we leave the festival grounds on the morning of June 3rd. These early bird festival tickets are being sold now, so if you are in North America and wish to come with me to Out and Wild next May, just email me at comingoutlater@gmail.com for that American early bird link and promo code. But don't dilly-dally, because our early bird discount and promo code is only good until August 31st. And so that you can see what all the hubbub is about regarding the Out and Wild Women's Festival, I'll post the link to the Out and Wild website in the show notes. If you get value from my weekly podcast, I invite you to please show your appreciation by buying me a virtual coffee by going to the website at www.buymeacoffee.com/Robin Douglas, RobinDouglass. And I'd like to thank all of you who have recently bought me a coffee or coffees, as well as in the past. I appreciate your support. It really does make a difference, and it means the world to me, so thank you. remember to please be kind to yourself today, and that it's better late than never, because it's never too late. Carpe vita, everyone. Seize life.
If you're looking for your people, your community, and a safe place to learn and get answers to your questions, then come join the conversation. Come join us in our private Facebook group, Coming Out Late, because we all know it's better late than never, and it's never too late.